Greetings, everyone, and I want to thank all of you for being with us here. This is the World Peace Diet Circle, a lot of World Peace Diet facilitators and are on this call, and thank you all for taking time out of your, I know, very busy lives to join us on our third Thursday World Peace Diet Circle call. This is October 15th, 2015. Wow. Years go by, don't they? And it's really a time where I think we probably all feel this. The changes are happening. It seems faster and faster in some ways. So we have this precious opportunity we have once a month to come together, and I'd like to share some of my thoughts and feelings about the state of the vegan movement and of our society, and any impressions and perhaps insights or ideas that may be helpful, and also encourage everyone, if you have any concerns or questions that are on your heart or in your mind or in your life about thriving as a vegan in our society, about being more able to live life effectively, and especially as it regards to being an effective vegan advocate and then, you know, finding our niche here. I think it's really something we can all continually learn from each other. One of the points that I continually not only making in the lectures that I give, but also seeing all the time around me, is the truth that we are in many ways not only co-creating our society, but we're products of our culture in many ways and our communities. And that seems to be the main reason why it's so difficult for people when they hear our message of compassion and justice for animals to do anything but say, wow, that's right, okay, good, I'm vegan. And why do people resist so strongly? It's cultural conditioning, of course, and the communities that we are in. So we have here a community of like-minded people and like-hearted people, I would say, that provides us, I think, a foundation for more effective advocacy and a wonderful resource to use. So please feel free to press star 6 on your phones if you have any comments or questions for me and also for everybody on the call. So I'd like to, just as we usually do, just take a moment at the very beginning here and feel our connection with the earth and with heaven and with the connection that we have with each other. And if you're driving your car or something like that, perhaps just keep your attention on your driving, but turn our attention somewhat within here. And just give thanks for this opportunity that we have, not only here this evening for the next hour or 90 minutes perhaps, but also the precious opportunity of a human birth, for this opportunity to contribute not only to the awakening of other human beings, but to deepening our own wisdom and compassion, that we may be able to actually be part of the solution on this planet, rather than being part of the problem. So we give thanks for everyone who has been making so many efforts for so many years to, and really centuries, millennia, to help us understand the interconnectedness of all life. We give thanks for this beautiful earth, for the animals, the wild turkeys we just saw a few minutes ago up in the land next to our house here, and the deer, all the many birds, the fishes, the whole web of life. There's so many. Just looking right around us, maybe right wherever we're sitting, there's probably some wildlife, some spiders or flies right here, and to give thanks for this unfolding beautiful symphony of life that we can, for the short time we're here, make an effort to understand our proper role here more deeply, more profoundly, more clearly, and to help contribute to a world of peace and freedom and justice and love and caring for the time that we're here. Through the infinite spirit of truth and love, we give thanks, knowing this is so. And so it is. All right, so I'd like to jump right in here with a couple of quick ideas and thoughts that I have, and then pretty soon I'm going to invite our dear friend Mark Stroud and his colleague, a woman named Amanda. They are going to be speaking with us for a few minutes about, she's I think the art director of the World Peace Diet Cookbook, which is underway. So I'll be hearing from them a little later. And also from Lily Macy, who is the founder of the World Peace Diet Sunday movement in the world, which is now getting close, I think, to 2 years. So I, a couple of things, you know, I've been thinking about. The last time we had the call, which was in September, we were just coming out of the Valley Fire, and I shared some thoughts about that. It was quite a shock, and, you know, we just actually had some friends over for dinner from a little town right here near us called Loch Lomond, which was virtually completely destroyed by the Valley Fire, and they had their dream home that they had built burned down, including his grand piano, which I can relate to that, since we have the same thing here. And they are vegans. It's kind of part of the irony, you know. It's there's a situation that I think we're seeing more and more clearly. It's great to see the Cowspiracy is now on Netflix through the help of Leonardo DiCaprio funding that, or helping to fund that. And so the doorway is open now to potentially hundreds of thousands or even millions of people, actually, I'm sure, have Netflix. And so if you haven't already seen Netflix, I think would be a great idea on, Cowspiracy on Netflix, to not only see it again, we saw it again, I think it's about the fourth or fifth time, and it's just really excellent. I have to say, after seeing it even several times, it still has a big impact and helped me to see how excellent, how well done it is. And then to give a review and a rating, and that's one of the things. If something is highly rated, then it comes up when people go on Netflix. It kind of pops up as, this is hot right now, watch this. You know, so that's the idea. If we can keep the momentum going on Netflix, it'll open the doorway for a lot more people to be able to hear this message. I wrote an article, which you probably maybe already read. It's in the resources. It's called Cowspiracy Now on Netflix, Satyagraha Lives. Satyagraha, of course, being Gandhi's word. It's an ancient Sanskrit word, actually, but Gandhi popularized it. It means truth force, the power of truth. And I think Cowspiracy is a good example of that. It's cutting through the deception of the not only the mass media and the government, but also of the large environmental organizations and the progressive organizations in general, who just never really discuss animal agriculture as the driving force behind the environmental devastation that we're experiencing, the climate destabilization, which is really the leading force behind the fires that we're having. The fire that we had right here, I think it's pretty well understood that, you know, that animal agriculture takes an enormous amount of water, and that it's takes an enormous amount of petroleum and cutting down rainforest and acidifying oceans. All of these things are leading to methane releases. The methane of cows pigs and chickens, especially cows, nitrous oxide, the carbon dioxide equivalents, the enormous amount of petroleum that's needed for fertilizer and for pesticides and to run all the machines and the equipment. You know, this is what makes animal agriculture, according to Robert Anhang, in the article that he, Robert Goodland and Anhang wrote a very powerful, their research actually in the, it was sponsored by the World Bank, attributing 51%, I think as you all probably are aware, of global greenhouse gas emission equivalents to animal agriculture. Makes it far, you know, people were shocked when the United Nations attributed 18%, and they said that's way too low. And I've actually even heard people say that 51% is really too low when you actually take it all into account. So this is, of course, the message that we saw so clearly right here and experienced, and we still see it. You know, when we look out over our deck, we see some burned hillsides. And I think this is very sobering, you know, to realize that we're now doing things to the planet that have really never been done in probably thousands of years in terms of devastation. So that is continuing to unfold, and I'm hoping that we can continue to raise consciousness about this and bring this message effectively to the world. And I think Cowspiracy is a great way to do that, promoting that, and any writing or teaching or sharing ideas with people. I think it's always helpful. So that's one thing. The other thing I wanted to mention, and then we'll go ahead and move to having Mark and Amanda, as I mentioned earlier, join us. I was asked to write an article for a special issue of the magazine that is published, I think it's every month or every couple of months, by Hippocrates Institute in Florida. And they wrote to me and they said they're going to do a special issue on longevity. And could I please write an article on longevity? So I wish that it was published and I could send you a link to it, but it's still not published, although it will be soon, although it's primarily a print magazine. I'm not sure if it's going to be online. But the as I contemplated longevity and I wrote about it, the first part of the article was about stuff that people are pretty much aware of, how eating animal foods is detrimental to our longevity for various reasons, because animal foods concentrate toxins and saturated fat and cholesterol and all these things. But then what I thought was very interesting to explore is not only the longevity from the point of view of how many years we're living on this planet, but also longevity from the point of view of the quality of the years, especially the elder years. And so I discussed that as well, as someone who for many years actually has gone into old folks' homes, you know, to retirement centers and nursing homes and played the piano for the people there. And I've seen, again, firsthand how so many people, once they get into these places, they are just so medicated that they can hardly even do anything but sit there and watch television, perhaps, and in a very difficult time communicating or having relationships, because they're so medicated and very often they've lost touch with reality. And they can stay alive for quite a few years and eating chicken and fish and turkey and beef and cheese and so forth. And so maybe they're having a long life in a sense. We add some more years, but is that really have anything to do with that, what we're talking about with longevity? A life that's not only long, but is actually long in terms of meaning and purpose and being worthwhile and not contributing to more misery and violence and suffering. And but then it occurred to me to go beyond that, actually, and talk about real longevity, which is including our life after we leave our body, because that moment is coming for all of us. and we don't know when it's coming. It could happen any moment. And it will happen eventually to everyone. That's absolutely one thing you can count on. There will be a moment, and it's just right around the corner, actually, maybe in 1 year or maybe in 30 years or whatever, when we will leave our bodies. And at that moment, our next experience following will be determined by how we lived our life. That's very well understood by all the wisdom traditions. So I think it's very important to understand that we're just here for a short time on this planet. We will be leaving. And just like our present right now is a result of our past, if we want to know what our past was like and what past lives were like or whatever, just look right now and how we're, this is it. You can see it. And if we want to know what our future will be like, just look at right now, how we're living. So when we leave our physical body and we're going on to our next experience, whatever that is, it will be a result of how we're living our lives now. And I think that's one of the most powerful things to remember. That's real longevity. Looking from the point of view of multiple, longer than just this one little materialistic episode, and seeing the bigger picture and realizing there's far more than meets the eye to our lives and to life here on planet Earth, and to sow seeds with every thought, word, and deed as best we can to bring love, joy, and freedom into our world, that as we do that, we not only bless others, we bless the whole web of life of which we are a part. And it goes beyond the materialism of our society, because, you know, one of the points I think we're probably aware of is that we live in a society that's philosophically materialistic in the sense that we look at matter as being the only thing that has any reality. If we can't measure it, then it doesn't exist. And yet we're a very unusual culture in that regard. Thousands, most virtually all cultures have recognized that there is something beyond just the material level. We can call it the spiritual level, or we can call it the metaphysical level, or we can refer to it as perhaps in other ways as the realm of light or of eternity, or heaven is perhaps one way, heaven and hell. But I think really, or the world of the mind and so forth. But I think essentially we all know at a deep level that we're not just a biochemical machine, that there's consciousness here. And the fact that our science and our society in general doesn't actually recognize that very directly shows how far we've strayed from our inherent wisdom. And I think what veganism is in many ways is reconnecting with consciousness, with the wisdom and awareness that is at the core of what we truly are as beings of consciousness, and seeing others as consciousness. When we see animals as beings, there's no way we can stab them. I think this is one of the things that we begin to awaken to, that we've been all forced to reduce ourselves by reducing animals through mealtime rituals that reduce them to mere pieces of meat. And pretty soon we do the same thing to each other and to ourselves. And that leads to competition and a very shallow, disconnected way of living, which is devastating to our society, to our health, to our environment, and to any authentic spirituality. So I think the real vegan movement is based on a type of spirituality that's not related necessarily to any religion. It's related to a direct experience of the truth that we are as not merely a physical thing. And once we begin to have these glimpses, I think we naturally begin to have more respect for ourselves at a deep level and for others. And we see that the same light that's shining in our eyes is shining in the eyes of others. And that light is the light that really leads us to the capacity to create true community where we can cooperate and live and love together. So that article will be coming out. The editor of the magazine was very nice and said how moved he was by it. Because I was a little unsure, you know, when I sent this article off, I thought, boy, he's either going to really like this or he's going to completely, not allow it to be published in his magazine. not really what I planned on writing. But it came out that way. And I think, you know, essentially, there's a hunger in our society, which, you know, there should be for the truth. And wherever it leads us, I think it does lead us beyond being mesmerized by just the shallow play of materialism, because if that's all we have and we're just accumulating things, then we're really cut off from the wellspring of wisdom and compassion and joy and freedom and creativity and everything else. So this is part of the bigger picture. And I think as the vegan movement matures and we begin to embrace an authentic spiritual perspective, it will deepen our ability to be effective advocates for animals. But how that plays out, of course, is a big question, how we actually talk about this. It's kind of a little almost taboo to even say these things anywhere within the movement. But I think more and more people are beginning to see that reducing animals to mere matter is part of the wounding that we've all gone through. So thank you all for being open to these ideas and helping to, you know, understand them and share them together here. I'd like to go ahead now and invite Mark Stroud and his colleague, who's, I guess, on the phone here, Amanda, to talk a little bit about the projects that they're working on. The World Peace Diet Cookbook, I think, is one of them. So, Mark, are you there?
Yes, I am, Will. Great to be
here. Thanks. And is Amanda here, too?
Hey, yes, I'm here.
Oh, good. Awesome. So go ahead. Maybe I'll go ahead and just ask you, or maybe before that I'll just mention. So for those of you who are perhaps new to the call, Mark Stroud is a longtime pillar of our World Peace Diet community living in Cincinnati, and together with other people in Cincinnati, especially Anna Ferguson, who's the founder of the World Peace Yoga School there. And they put together for 5 years an annual conference that we went to and have been training people in yoga and in the World Peace and the World Peace Diet facilitators for quite a few years. Mark was at the very first World Peace Diet facilitator training we did back in Michigan, I don't know when it was, a long time ago. and we've been working together for, you know, quite a few years. And Mark and Anna are working on, as probably most of you are aware, a couple of new projects. One of them is the World Peace Diet Cookbook, and another is the World Peace Yoga Book, which are on their way. They just did a crowdfunding campaign for those. And I think, Amanda, you're participating in these. Can you tell us sort of how you're involved and what you're up to?
Sure. Is that a question for me?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, these books are super unique. We took an approach to photographing and making art out of the food that I've never seen before. And we worked with this really great dream team of artists. And basically, the idea is just to make the images as beautiful and evocative and powerful as the entire message of the World Peace Diet, and as to make them look as beautiful as the recipes taste, which is incredible.
Wow.
I can tell you, I was there firsthand on every shoot. We got to sample every single one of these incredible recipes by Mark, and they were just absolutely delicious. So the book kind of moves from gorgeous vegetable mosaics and mandalas to surrealist collages, all with the idea that we're sort of welcoming, you know, animals of all kind to the table and just to eat with them. And it's the message is really woven throughout the entire book through the images, and it's been such an incredible process to create them and, you know, have them be for everyone.
Wow. Well, that's exciting. I can't wait to see it, and I can't wait to try some of this food. I can totally agree with you. You know, we're Madeline and I are longtime fans of Mark's cooking, and I think a lot of everybody who tries it is. You know, Mark, you've got a great knack for making food that will appeal to the whole spectrum of tastes, you know, in people, and making vegan food, not, you know, accessible, which I think is really so important. And Madeline, of course, and I actually totally agree, is the whole idea in many ways in her work is to bring the vegan message through beauty, through art, through delicious food, to appeal to the highest and also to the whimsical and the joyful dimension. And so it sounds terrific. I'm delighted. Mark, you want to say anything more about how you guys have been going about this, or anything
else?
Well,
I'm just it's just been as Amanda said. I'd like to thank her for being a part of this dream team and really bringing these images that are a representation of the food and as important, the representation of the spirituality of the message of the World Peace Diet, because I think that that's the part that you spoke of earlier that is so part that this new age that we're moving into, like when you mentioned Cowspiracy, that we're and just recently the viewing of Plant Pure Nation here in Cincinnati at the UC School with Nelson Campbell and Colin T. Campbell, that there's just this avalanche of love and kindness that's now spreading throughout the country and the world, and more it's going to be necessary to have tools that relate the message of food and to spirituality, and so that people can adjust to this new way of living where we've never really lived before. So I'm really enthusiastic, ecstatic to be a part of this process and to be working with such great people like the two of you bring this way of living to the world. So
great. that's a lot. That's really a lot. So Amanda, were you involved with the photography or with the overall layout, or
sure?
And who else is working? I mean,
I'm the art director and the designer and the illustrator of the book. So, and the photography was done by Jesse Fox, who is another local artist here, and she's also internationally renowned for her work. She's so great. And so just coming up with the concept for these images was a really cool process, and sitting down and talking with Mark and learning more about vegan cooking myself. You know, I read your book 10 years ago, and that's, you know, when I became a vegan. So for it to come full circle and then to be talking to you now is really cool for me. But as an artist as well, to be able to make work that means something and that will have an impact is so meaningful. And just to work with food as a subject, it has been a lot of fun, and to really push the limits of what we can do with these images and how we can work with them, and to really make each one just so cool that you want to frame it, like frame every single one in your home. So hopefully there will be prints later on too, and it'll be something that people can put up in their homes and just really enjoy looking at, and as well as reading the book. And just these recipes are incredible. So it'll change the way I think that you cook and that you learn about, you know, just the basics and how to develop your intuition to creating these meals and putting these things together, because it is a spiritual process. So combining all these art forms has been really a great experience for me. It's really exciting.
Well, you really talk well. I mean, as you're explaining it, I really can get goosebumps just hearing it. You know, I mean, you're really expressing it so well. And I think, you know, I mean, when you think about it, there's I saw this. I think I mentioned it maybe last month in at one of the conferences I went. It was a graph of how many vegan cookbooks have been released in German. And, you know, it's kind of just, you know, like 5 1 year and then 10 the next year and then 20 the next year and then 50 the next year. And it's kind of like really, you know, growing very fast and fast in Germany. And I think something similar is happening here. It's really, you know, vegan cooking is becoming a something that's really not just a sort of something that people look down their noses at and think, oh, you know, those poor vegans, how do they survive? It's becoming really like the next wave of cuisine. It's becoming much more hip and popular, and the way everything is moving in that direction. And it sounds like what you're doing is the very leading, like you're the leading edge of the leading edge, in a sense. I mean, you're taking it, you know, as vegan cuisine is sort of where leading everything, you're creating a cookbook that is actually getting to the essence of what veganism is all about, which is the spiritual dimension of connectedness to animals, not just as not just doing something that's healthy or something that's tastes good, but that really has a spirit to it that goes beyond just whether we like it or not.
Absolutely. Well, that's exactly what we were aiming to do with every image.
Mm-hmm. And you spoke earlier about a hunger for truth, and I think that part of what this is what you just described in all of the cookbooks in Germany. It's really happening, I think, across the world because it's really indicative of a hunger for real food. We have probably 5,000 establishments in the Cincinnati area that call themselves restaurants and purport to actually be providing food. But by definition, food, and you might look in any dictionary, food has to be something that's nutritious. It has to be something right. that provides nourishment. So selling the dead animal parts and the secretions of exploited beings is a
right.
far cry from anything that's, by definition, food. So there's coming a time right now where there is actual food available. And so cookbooks, actual restaurants that are serving nutritious and nourishing food, they're the ones that are coming to the fore, and we've got an enormous amount of work to do. So just to use Cincinnati as an example, it's a far cry
right.
from Portland or New York or San Francisco.
Right.
And there are 5,000 of these so-called restaurants here, and there are actually three
right.
that are actually real restaurants.
Wow.
So,
wow.
We have our work cut out for us.
Right, yeah. Because those 4,997 restaurants are not nutritious for the people who are going in there, but they're very nutritious for the bank accounts of multinational corporations and drug companies and medical industry. they get very well fed and fat on the food that people are, so-called food people are eating. But you're part of this awakening, really. But I think, you know, actually, even though you say that Cincinnati isn't any Portland or San Francisco or New York in terms of vegan restaurants, but, you know, I think, you know, it's clear that there's something happening there in Cincinnati. I think this cookbook will be one way that you guys will be contributing to the transformation that's happening, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of people in Portland and New York and San Francisco who will love reading this cookbook and maybe inspire some more restaurateurs all over the world. That would be great.
Well,
you know, that's really the thing, you know, because if you can inspire, you know, the right people, I mean, one or two people, they can who are really live wires. You know, that's really what happens. You know, we just plant the seeds as best we can, and it sounds like what you're doing is got that unique flair that I just thrilled to hear about it, you know, and we'll never know, we can never know how we're touching people. It goes beyond probably what we can ever imagine, but it's great.
It's a great vision of the now and the future. So and a little tantalizing image of what Amanda put together for four hummus recipes that are in the cookbook. You can go to worldpeaceearth.com and click on the pre-order book page, and you'll see a beautiful hummus mosaic of vegetables. And well, you describe it, Amanda. It's your creation.
Oh, I think it's better seen in person than if I describe it verbally. But
it's
a mandala.
Did you say it was World Peace Earth?
WorldPeaceEarth.com, WorldPeaceEarth.com, and you'll see a pre-order subject line, and click on that, and that'll take you to this beautiful mosaic, and an opportunity to actually order the cookbook. And of course, the holidays are coming up, so great opportunity for ordering a cookbook for a gift of peace, and of course the yoga book will be coming along right as well. And what better way to, whether it's the World Peace Diet or the World Peace Diet Cookbook or the World Peace Yoga Book, what better way to give the gift of peace for the holidays?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I just so I get this right, I just went here. I'm at World Peace Earth, and I'm looking at, is it right there on the main page, World Peace Earth? And then
right at the top, it'll say book pre-order.
Right, and then I see the two. I see this nice. Oh, is that mandala? Is that in the upper left? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, and
if
that's
you click
all
on it, it'll pop up even larger.
Oh, I see. So it's made out of mushrooms and zucchinis and grapefruit. I don't know what all.
Yeah.
We actually made that. That's amazing.
Yeah, we did. We made that. It was quite a lot of chopping of vegetables. But there's a red beet hummus, a baba ganoush, a black bean hummus, and then
right.
What was the other one? They were so delicious. I can't even tell you. I can't even explain how good they were. But yeah, this image is just one of many that was really fun to make. So.
Wow, it must have been fun to make and fun to eat. Yeah,
that's
fascinating. I'll put it for those of you who don't. I'll make a link to this in the email I sent out. Well, great. Oh, that's awesome. Wow. Well, I can't wait to see this. And now you've kind of whetted our appetites for not just the food, but I think really the visual feast as well, and also beyond that, the message. You know that that's coming, and it's really important. I think that. The why, you know, the World Peace Diet is sort of the why it's important not to eat animals and why it's important to question. And this is more of the how, you know, how do you do it? Then what do you do? You know, how do you do it? And it's great to have a how that's in alignment with the why. And it sounds like you guys are definitely doing that. So let me see, if anyone has any questions or comments as we're going along here for Mark and Amanda, just press *6 and we can talk a little bit more about that. But I think, it's just been great to have you on the call, and I'll send out a link to this. And it's World Peace Earth, and it's right there on the pre-order page if you want, worldpeaceearth.com. Good job. That's amazing. It's exciting, and I'm just delighted. Thank you so much for joining us. Any last thing you want to say before we move on?
I just want to say thanks for having us. It's been really fun to talk about, and we're really excited to share it with everyone. So,
right, yeah, it's just phenomenal. I think, and I think it sounds like it'll be something that will be so unique that it'll definitely probably create a cult following. Hopefully, they'll say, you vegans are a bunch of cultists. Yeah, well, in a way, I kind of look that way. Okay, go
I'll
ahead.
Join
Mark,
that, I'll join that cult anytime.
Right. Yeah. All right. Any last things, Mark? before we head off, any other things you want to mention?
Oh, I think Amanda said it well. I'm just really glad that we're all here collaborating, working together to make this world
right.
A wonderful, kind, gentle place to live.
Great. Okay. And if anyone has a question for Mark or Amanda, just press *6 and we can usually get them back on here. Great. Thanks so much, you both of you. Really appreciate it. All right. So, yeah, and Mark mentioned something that I actually wanted to mention, too, which is besides the fact that this World Peace Diet cookbook is coming, I didn't realize that it would be so awesome how it sounds. Fantastic. Madeline will be also contributing some recipes to that as well. And also, Mark mentioned the Plant Pure Nation movie. And hi, how many of you have seen The Plant Pure Nation? I don't know how many of you have, but if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. I hadn't seen it either, and it's kind of hard to view it, I think, if you're not in a city where you can go to a screening, and we live out in the middle of nowhere, so I didn't think I was ever going to see it until somehow it was available. But I got an email about a week ago, or maybe 2 weeks ago now, I guess, about 2 weeks ago, out of the blue from Plant Pure Nation, and they said, here is a link to watch Plant Pure Nation. So Madeline and I sat down and watched that movie, and it's terrific. I have to say, it's really well done. It's done by Nelson Campbell, who's the son of T. Colin Campbell, and it's really about T. Colin Campbell's career, I mean, how he fought against the the domination, really, of the academic and governmental forces and industry forces to silence him, and then also about Nelson's efforts to try to get a resolution passed in Kentucky. It's apparently this vegan senator, I think he is a representative in Kentucky, and to get something passed that would begin to help, because Kentucky has one of the worst health status. They're very, a lot of diabetes and obesity and heart disease and cancer and everything. It's very expensive and terrible in Kentucky. So this one senator representative became kind of a good friend of the Campbells and said it'd be great to, kind of pass a resolution that we should promote plant-based eating in Kentucky. And so then it was about, how do you do that? Of course, it didn't work. And so there was so much resistance. And so then they start doing a grassroots education campaign and having these Plant Pure Nation kind of a jumpstart program where people, just normal people, farmers farmers and businessmen and lawyers and whoever, people would come together and just try out eating in a plant pure way, as they call it, a vegan way, and just the incredibly positive results. I mean, just off the charts. People are just thrilled. All of their triglyceride levels go down, and their cholesterol, LDL, goes down, and their health soars, and they feel so much better, and they're off their medications. And then he does one after another, each one is bigger than the one before. He does one through a church, and he has this, this whole church just is, and the minister, this is great. The minister is there, this is real religion, this is making a better world. And so it's very inspiring, and he also brings in the dimension of the environmental devastation and even the cruelty to animals as well. So I really think it's, not only do I recommend seeing it, but what I wanted to emphasize here is that I thank Nelson for doing the film and sent him an email and thanked him and thanked him for sending it to me so I could watch it. And he answered me, and so we started corresponding a little bit and told me, he really thinks highly of the World Peace Diet and the work we're doing. And so they're setting up things called Plant Pure Pods. And a pod is a group it's basically one person, usually, or a couple, one or two people in a town or city somewhere who just says, I want to try to help spread this message by showing the movie and having a discussion about it and have sort of an ongoing thing. And so they're starting to set up pods. They've been very successful. They've got hundreds of people who have volunteered to set up pods in their communities, wherever they are. And as part of that, they've also, like he was talking to me about the World Peace Diet Facilitator Network, that we've got people too, all over, the country and actually the world who've gone through the World Peace Diet Facilitator training, several hundred, and that it would be great to perhaps work together and have World Peace Diet Facilitators, maybe using this also as part of the methods that we can help facilitate discussion. Because when people watch a movie like this, it's very inspiring, and you get to see it's mainly about the health benefits, but still, I think it's, like the Cowspiracy, which was actually created by one of our facilitators, Kip Anderson. This is, comes out of, the Campbells, and they're, I think really it's a great possibility to work together. So, we're as you probably know, we're now at the point where on our website, everyone who's a World Peace Diet Facilitator or anyone on this call, also if you want to go to our website, and we have a sign-up sheet where we can find out everybody's geographical location, basically, so you can be someone in a region and have that be known that you're in a region and you're happy to work together to help either coach people or help spread the vegan message in your area and to create a network. So part of that would be possibly working together with some of these other networks. What they've done with the Plant Pure Nation pods is work together with any local vegetarian group. So they're starting to do that now. Instead of having individual pods per se, in many cases they're just allowing what they're doing to be part of the existing vegan meetup or the existing vegetarian or vegan society or wherever it is. So these different possibilities of cross-fertilization, I think, are good. And if anyone has any thoughts about this, let us know. If you have any questions or anything or thoughts, I think it would be great for our network, the World Peace Diet Facilitator Network, which is growing all the time, to be perhaps in some way linked up to these other networks, and to more and more, I think we can bring an important perspective to the vegan movement. That's definitely going to grow. It's going to keep growing. It has to keep growing. So we'll try to have more on that and be in communication with you about it through the third Thursday calls and through emails as well. So I'd like to go to Lily, I think, but before that, my wonderful spouse Madeline is here, and she and I have been on quite a few adventures lately. We just got back from Europe, doing 15 lectures there, and then we had the fire to deal with, and then we and now we're getting ready for a whole month long tour. Excuse me, 11 months. Sorry about that. 11-month long tour in our RV. And she's a continual inspiration for me. Madeline, are you with us on the phone?
Yes, I'm right
here.
My gosh. Hello. Hello, everybody.
Great. So, yeah, what have you been up to lately, Madeline?
Oh, yeah. We're just working on a new cooking demo and also a garden demo kind of nourishing the garden well, and the cooking demo. I won't reveal what the title is, but it's coming in a couple of days. And it's really fun doing these, and it's too long since we did the last time, but it was so much happening, so that's kind of a free time activity we're doing. And it's really very important to make good vegan food, food organic, kind of naturally based, kind of unprocessed, possibly. And we had some visits, kind of non-vegans, and we served this, and they really loved it. They're kind of vegetarian, but they really loved the dish, and which will come in a couple of days, and you can learn how to do it. And he said, wow, this is so great that vegan food actually can taste so good. So he was very grateful, and she liked it too. And it's just really important to show people how to do it and how it tastes, and to be healthy in eating like this. And, you know, at the end, everybody who went vegan is actually very, very grateful. We get lots of letters, and they say, oh, why didn't I discover it earlier? And it's the greatest thing, and so on. And people who resist, they don't know that it's actually then that good. And it's like the whole compassionate element, which is shown so well, most of it the ecological side in Cowspiracy. I love that movie. So it has these great graphs, and I think if we can just show this movie to many, many, many people, do parties with little refreshments, vegan goodies, and then show the movie, because it's kind of not all these grossed out pictures which people don't want to watch. But it's showing it anyway a little bit, kind of little hint, but the graphs are really good. I mean, it's a no-brainer to go vegan. That's really it. So, yeah, that's about what I like to say.
Do you want to say a little bit about your tea you've been making?
Oh, the tea I'm making. Yeah, that's what we offered too yesterday to our guests. The garden tea? I was thinking of the verbena with the stevia tea. Yeah, our plants, they get some tea too, actually. We serve them tea. And they have two choices. They have, you will see the kind of compost tea made with leaves and minerals and all that kind of thing. But I discovered that there is a much easier way to make easy. It's easy plant tea, and it works right away. Plant actually immediately start to bloom and to get greener leaves and more leaves, and they're just so grateful to get that tea. And one can even do it with balcony pots, making that tea. So I highly recommend to watch a movie, that little demo, which will be available in a couple of days, three, 4 days.
Great. Yeah, so thank you so much, Madeline. This is these are two videos that we just shot actually yesterday, and they'll be up. I guess if you go to wilkinsdiet.com and click on videos and then click on Madeline's Intuitive Kitchen, they should be up there. The two newest ones.
Yeah, and isn't it like this? If one subscribed, then they come automatically.
Which oh, on is, YouTube, right.
Yeah, it's the easiest, so you don't have to always go and look if it's up, and then you see if there is a new one.
That's a good idea.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Great.
Thanks for the opportunity, Will, and thank you so much, everybody, to, for all the efforts you're making, and it's really important, and nothing is lost. So, lots of love, and till next time. Bye.
Great. Okay, so, thank you, Madeline. Yeah, this tea, it's really a special, it's great to see her going around the garden with these huge buckets of tea and pouring it on all these poor, on these, actually the plants are delighted to get it because it's not, it's water with just full of nutrients that they can immediately absorb. And I'm telling you, it's just fantastic how they respond. So there's all kinds of things we can learn here about not only eating good food, but growing and creating our own food wherever we happen to be. So now I'd like to also have a little bit of time to talk with our good friend Lily Macy, who's a longtime vegan advocate and is the founder of the Real Peace Diet Sunday, which I think a lot of people are aware of. Spend a few minutes finding out from Lily how things are going there. And so I'm going to unmute the phone here. And I think, Lily, hi, are you there?
Hi, yes, I'm here, and Jim is on the phone. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, perfectly.
Okay, great. First, I will just thank you so much for having me on the call with Mark Stroud and Amanda. I mean, I live in Redwood Country, you know, and we take walks among the giants, but it is such an honor to walk among vegan giants of the, you know, the giants of the vegan movement. It just, I'm so grateful for this opportunity in this lifetime to be your friend, to be Madeline's friend. I love Madeline. And just to know that beautiful things are happening in the name of the movement. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Right. Yeah, it is. I feel the same way. We're so fortunate to be part of this movement. And it's been really terrific to see how your idea has grown and continued on and blossomed. And the idea of having a phone bridge, a teleconference, every single week you read the World Peace Diet, and it's not just you, it's two other people with you.
yeah, it's true. And it started in my kitchen because my husband started this whole process of reading the World Peace Diet very slowly, very contemplatively, aloud. And he was reading it to me as I was making dinner. And this is how we started.
Right.
This is back in January of 2007, so it's almost 9 years ago.
Yeah.
And he just, at one point, I believe it was in chapter one, actually. At one point, he was reading to me, and I just turned to him, and I said, "We're vegan, aren't we?" And he goes, "We're vegan." Right, Jim? And he was like, "Ah, oh, this is it," you know. And we've been reading this book. I've never stopped reading it. We just keep reading it. The first two times, Jim read it aloud to me, and that took more than a couple of years because we read it slowly. We read it paragraph by paragraph. Might have some discussion on it. And then move on, and it's, you know, you just don't move through this book. This is the book, this is the transformation of our lifetime came in this book. And so as we kept doing this, in the second two readings, I started doing it right before dinner, and then we would say a prayer, and we would always pray for the protection and health of Will and Madeline Tuttle. And we've been doing this for years now out here in the in the hinterlands here in the middle of the forest, and I have put on some vegan events with Will, here, and
right.
not at my home, but in town, and they were quite, for a rural place, we had about 52 people one time, which isn't bad, considering that it's a very small rural community, and so we've done a little bit of that, but I wanted to do something continuously, and the only thing I could think of doing was, you know, any time anybody got to talk to me, I would tell them about the World Peace Diet, but I thought, well, gee, you know, I'm good. I facilitate other study groups on phone bridge and or conference call, phone bridge and conference call, same thing.
Uh-huh.
And so I was mentioning this to Will quite a few times now before I started it. I said I would like to start this, and I thought I needed to get it funded, you know, to do it. And as it turned out, I called my wonderful friend Sharon Abar, who takes care of all my emails. I dictate to her. I'm not online out here where I live. I'm very, very envious. I really want to in some way want to be able to just click on and see Will and Madeline in their food forest. I just want to see that. I mean, it's great. But so far that hasn't happened. But Sharon takes care of all my emails. I will, you know, tell her this is what I want, and I write them out. And we started out with about 12 people on our email list, and now we're getting close to 150. And that's, you know, still small. I mean, you know, I want to just take this thing by storm. It's the World Peace Diet. But actually, new people seem to come every Sunday. We have at least one or two new people, and those people tell other people, and it's been going on now for 2 years. We're celebrating 2 years, and it is working.
Wow.
I mean, people enjoy it. People go vegan because of it. People become World Peace Diet facilitators because of it.
Mm-hmm.
People have said to me, well, one person said, well, I've had the World Peace Diet on my bedstand for a couple of years. I know about the book, but I was afraid to read it alone. And you are so user-friendly. I can come on to this fellowship, and you read it, and we discuss it. And so out of that, she became a World Peace Diet facilitator. So, you know, it is doing some good. I mean, I'd like it to be more, because I consider my journey and my husband's journey of transformation, the World Peace Diet was the pivotal point, because that was what made me go vegan, what made my husband go vegan, and absolutely transformed the quality of our lives. Absolutely. And I tell people that, and I would love to have Mark Stroud and come on and talk about his World Peace Diet cookbook. That would be fantastic. Mm. It's a wonderful way. Anyone who is a pure vegan can come on and promote any book that they've written. I'll give them time to talk about it. I've been admiring him for years, because I think, correct me if I'm wrong, he's been vegan maybe 40 years.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and I'm just in awe of someone like that who did it without the World Peace Diet. Obviously, he had the vision. So he's a real trailblazer, but you gave me the vision through the world, you and Madeline, and I always think about how you both wrote this book with Madeline. I've had you on several times, and about six times in the last 2 years. And that time, my very favorite time, was the time that you and Madeline talked about your early years. It was just wonderful. I woke up the next morning grinning from ear to ear, and those links are all available through Sharon. She will send links to all of those talks. That is such a beautiful, beautiful talk. It was a beautiful interview with you and Madeline. It was just delightful. It was family. Many people, I mean, we have people calling in from South Africa, get up at 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning just to be there because it's family. It's family, and we have people from all over the place calling in, all across the country, Australia, South Africa. It's it's quite phenomenal, actually. Mm. And I saw this because you said, Will, you said, find what you can do, find your creativity. And I am a creative person, and I write, and I sing, and I do other things, but I do speak, and I can convey messages through communication. And so I thought, well, this, who better than to start this thing but me, because I'm way out here, and there's really no other way for me to be effective at all in the movement, and I've got to be effective in the movement. This is, I've given my life to the message of the World Peace Diet. I have committed my life to this message. And to teach it and to be a student of it, to teach it and be a student of it for the rest of my life. And the last thing I say on the planet is going to be, honey, read the World Peace Diet and go vegan. That's it. And I've already planned that. to whoever's around to witness my taking off onto the astral plane. So, one point I wanted to make was that the World Peace Diet has simplified my spiritual life in that anytime I read anyone who is supposed to be a spiritual master and it doesn't have the vegan component in there, it leaves me hollow. But the World Peace Diet is, in without a question, one of the most spiritual, if not the most spiritual book I have ever read. I mean, my eyes fill with tears. The wonderful quotes from the different, you know, people that all through history have been trying to give the message, but you put it all together. You put it all together into this beautiful package. And I don't have to keep a lot of books. I have actually given a lot of books to my local library that were cluttering my space, because I live in a small place. And I don't need all those books, because the World Peace Diet, if there's something in there that I want to maybe pursue, it's in there, and I'll look it up and I'll pursue it. But I don't have to, you know, go looking for the answer. It's all in the, I found the answer. I have found the answer in the World Peace Diet in terms of my own spiritual, guidance. I live by this book. It guides me. And the way World Peace Diet people and facilitators operate is a little different, because it's really based on real compassion toward our brothers and sisters who aren't vegan, and even ones who are vegan bashers. I learned that from Will Tuttle, because my natural instinct is to hate those people. But I've learned how to just accept them and not only tolerate but have compassion for them through the World Peace Diet. And since compassion is the highest form of love, and since love is the underlying message of all spiritual teaching, the World Peace Diet does it for me, because it taught me for the first time in my life real, true compassion. And I've read countless spiritual books, countless. I've been a student of many, many spiritual practices, and actually been baptized into them and sat in them and did all kinds of stuff before the World Peace Diet. So the World Peace Diet really allowed me to expand as a spiritual being. And, of course, three times a day I get to practice my compassion. And it reminds me that I'm on a compassionate adventure. Whenever I'm dining, I'm practicing compassion.
Right.
And it's a reminder, Lily, not just toward the animals, not just toward your good friends and your husband, but toward everyone, even the people who upset me.
Wow. Beautiful. Thank you so much, Lily, for being you, saying that so well. And I want to just encourage everyone to realize that we can, I think, do a better job, really, in using this resource that Lily is working so hard to make available. Anyone you know that is a pre-vegan, maybe, or even people that are already vegan but maybe could use some support, or we can always, besides inviting them to read the World Peace Diet or sending them a link to maybe some articles about vegan living or the advantages of plant-based eating, or telling them to seek Cowspiracy, we can say, there's this every Sunday at 5 p.m. Pacific time, there's the World Peace Diet Sunday, and it's a wonderful community to just check it out. You can be
Yes,
on your
Will,
phone,
it's live
and
interactive.
Driving,
right.
It's live and interactive,
like
which
nothing
is
else.
Great,
it's a real,
because
it's a real live
I don't
thing.
Know what I don't know how much interaction there can be on the internet, but it's live and interactive,
right.
Just like your monthly call is live and interactive.
Right.
So that is just I feel like I'm an extension of what you're doing, but I've been doing it every single Sunday. And I only missed two Sundays when we completed it last year and had that celebration, and a lot of people were saying what it meant to them. Remember, you came as our guest.
Yes.
And for 2 weeks I took off because it happened to end at the beginning of the holidays,
right.
And I thought, well, I'll start it up again at the beginning of the year, and I did, and now we're on chapter 14, Journey of Transformation, which is one of it's my favorite chapter. I just love it so much. So I also want to let people know that there is a very inexpensive World Peace Diet Sunday card that people can give out with all
right.
of these beautiful animals in silhouette, and it gives the time, both Pacific and Eastern time, and it gives the number and everything on it, and it's every Sunday. It's a great tool of activism. You just hand the person this card.
Right.
And it just gives the information on it. And that's what I do whenever I'm around talking to anyone. I'll say, take my card. Take my card.
Can they get those from Sharon, you think? Is that the best way? I can give everybody, I can write that down on the notes for everybody.
Right. I'm so used to having Sharon on the line with me on World Peace Diet Sunday. I was going to ask her to unmute, but this is not World Peace Diet Sunday. But I think you could email Sharon and ask her the best way
to
get that.
Right.
And it's I just hand them out everywhere I go, because at least even if they never show up, they're going to see World Peace Diet on there. And I think that in the way the world operates, on the spiritual level, World Peace Diet, even if they've never heard of it, it's going to come up in their world again if they take this card. I just feel
that's the way
it works. And this book is really, it lives in the spiritual world. And we become transformed beings through practicing veganism and through this book, because it transports you from what you thought you were to something, and I hadn't planned to become vegan when I, you know, started reading the book. Hadn't planned it. Something else had a plan for me.
Right. Well, thank you so much, Lily.
May I just say one more thing?
Okay, we're getting close to the end, but go ahead.
Right, I want to just mention something really, really important. I don't want to do a pun, but it is a pet peeve of mine, and it's all about, I've mentioned it on your call before, but it's all about, you know, feeding your pets vegan if you have pets. And I just want to put a plug in for my pets who became vegan within 2 or 3 weeks of my becoming vegan, because I contacted Evolution Pet Food Company, Eric Wiseman, who has had a pet food out for 27 years that's 100% vegan. And he's done his activism that way. And my pets are in beautiful, beautiful shape. My youngest is 9, so he's been a vegan for almost all of his life. He's a dog. And my other dog is 10. And then I have 4 cats who are 10, and they've been vegan almost all their lives. And then the mother is now 12. And these cats were dumped into the forest to die. And so I adopted them. So I wound up with 5 cats plus 1 cat who was dumped into the trash in Los Angeles to die. And so I have these beautiful vegan cats that, who knew? They didn't know that they were going to become vegan. They're doing very well on Evolution Pet Food. And I just can't call myself a really committed vegan and support the pet food industry. I can't do it, because it's one of the most horrific industries on the planet. So
I just
wanted to put that plug out there for Evolution Pet Food. There are others too, but if you have a vegan pet, don't be afraid. Call me if you're afraid, because I guarantee my pet, my vet is starting to ask me, your pets are in beautiful shape. What are you actually feeding them? Because they all know I'm vegan. So there, I just wanted to put that plug in. Thank you so much for allowing that.
Thank you, Lily. Yes,
you
will. Absolutely. And I'll mention that again in the notes I send out later tonight to everyone on our call. All right. Well, much love to you and Jim from both of us, and
thank you so much for the work you're doing.
Okay. Well, so now we're getting close to the end. No one has pressed star six to ask a question or make a comment at this point. And if you would like to do that about anything we've said so far or something completely unrelated, please, this is your chance. There's a couple of things I want to say before we get off. We usually like to really end this by 90 minutes, and it's now we're already at 80 minutes. So there's a few things I want to cover. Now people are starting to press star six. So, I'll go ahead and take these, and then I do have a few things I want to wrap up with. So, let's see. This is Marlene, I believe. I'm unmuting you, Marlene. Are you there?
Yes. Thank you, Will.
Hi. How are you?
Hi. Great. Thank you. I just wanted to let you and the others know that tomorrow, Martin Rowe, the publisher of Lantern... published the World Peace Diet, is on the interview on Vegan Nation. And so at 12:30 to 1 p.m. Eastern Time tomorrow, Friday, and it can be accessed online at wcuw.org.
Okay, so tomorrow at 12:30 Eastern Time, that's Friday, WCUW.org, you can hear you interviewing Martin Rowe, right? I have to tell you, everyone, Martin Rowe, I mean, really, quite honestly, I don't know what to say about this guy, except that he, you know, if there's one person on planet Earth that I would say is just brilliant, it's Martin Rowe. You know, he's a dazzling mind, really. I mean, dazzling intellect. He's so fast, so sharp, so bright, brilliant writer and speaker, a British fellow who's, I guess he was smart enough to publish the World Peace Diet, so I guess, he's a really remarkable person, and I think it'll be an extremely interesting interview. So I highly recommend that. And thank you so much, Marlene, for the work you're doing. I really appreciate every single week Marlene interviews people on her. This is really, in many ways, your way of giving to the vegan movement. And you've also interviewed Lily, I know, and Madeline and myself, actually, a couple of times, and now Martin Rowe and many other great people who are part of the movement. So thanks so much for the work you're doing, Marlene.
Thank you. And also Mark Stroud and Anna Ferguson are in the...
Oh, right. So are all these all the archives available at WCUW also?
Yes.
That website? That's terrific.
wcuw.org/vegannation.
I see. /vegannation. Right. Okay. I'll make a link to that and we send it out. That's really helpful. Great. All right. Thank you so much. And keep up the wonderful work. Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. And then we have someone else here. Area code 250. Go ahead.
Oh, hello. Is that me?
Yes.
Oh, hi. Yeah, my name's Kim, and this is the first call I've been a part of.
Oh, great.
I became a vegan in June this year and actually read your book in September. So it wasn't as a result of your book, but it was just an internal thing with me that it felt like it was the right thing to do.
Right.
But
great.
Your book sort of introduced me to what's going on behind the scenes, as it were. And now I've got to the stage where I'm finding it really difficult when I go shopping to buy meat and dairy products for my husband and my daughter, because they're still, you know, they're meat eaters and they're dairy. And at first I thought I would be able to do it. I'd just have one, you know, I'd buy my stuff and I'd buy their stuff. But I actually find it so difficult at the meat counter, and even to pick up a milk jug, you know.
Right.
It does something to my heart. It's just so hard to do. And I'm sure you've had this question before, and I wondered if you had any tips.
Wow, that's quite a situation you're in.
Mm.
But it is something that does happen to people. It has never happened, actually, to me. I've been fortunate. I haven't ever had to buy meat or dairy for someone else. I guess, I don't know if anyone else has any great ideas here. I think, you know, the best thing to do, you know, you're in, only you know the quality of your relationship with them and what would be okay to do or say in the situation. So, you know, there's various ways we can go about it. Go ahead.
I told my husband today my feelings about it and how it is just so difficult for me now. And I thought that I would be able to do it, but I just really can't do it. So he said, oh, well, I'll just go and do my own shopping sort of thing like that.
Right.
And that made me feel bad from that perspective as well. And I thought, am I approaching this in the right way? You know, is it the way?
Yeah, it's true. I don't think there's a particular right or wrong way in these kind of situations. It's sort of, I think, mainly about communicating as honestly and lovingly as you can with everybody involved, and making making it known that for you, these are not food, really. I mean, they're products of violence or oppression or abuse of the other living beings, and it's difficult for you to support that, and in the sense of actually procuring it for them. Let's talk about it more. Let's watch some videos together. And so you can understand my perspective, if you don't mind. I mean, I think it's, you know, the least you can ask is to just, you know, to try to find out why I feel this way, maybe, you know. And, that's kind of how it is. And there are some relationships that go deeper and better and stronger and more beautiful and transform in very positive ways, and there are sometimes it seems like they collapse under the strain, and then new things can emerge out of that too. And sometimes it can seem like a tragedy at the time, and yet it turns out later to actually really be great, or, you know, it's hard to say, you know.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, the main thing is to
talking about it.
Keep talking and not blaming, you know, because the whole idea is that, you know, anyone who's eating meat and dairy is just, we're all wounded, you know, we're just forced into it from the time we're little infants to participate in these meals, and we get at a very deep level, we get sort of programmed into it, and a lot of people have a difficult time giving up meat and dairy because of fear, you know, the social fears they have, the fear that they're displeasing their mother, even though she's already dead for 10 years, they still don't want to, you know, upset her. Mm-hmm. You know, there's deep, and it's a subconscious, you know, issues that people have. And but, you know, I think if you keep talking about it and also really help educate people, you know, because everyone, I think, can learn to look behind the curtain of our cultural denial and appreciate the fact that we don't have to contribute to that, and we can transform our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing so, we actually leave the prison. I mean, you're inviting them out of a prison that they're in. They don't realize they're in a prison of violence, that they're actually harmed by this more than they realize.
Yeah.
So the more you can take care of yourself, I think that's very important, you know, to really try to have some friends who are vegans, people you can talk to. Don't be alienated or isolated. Try to really connect. It's great you're on this call. And I think the World Peace Diet Sunday would be beautiful also. And But just, you know, to, so that you're, so that you are, happy within yourself, take time. I, you know, from my point of view, I think it's important to do some kind of, connecting with nature, connecting with your, with some kind of meditative practice, mm-hmm. some kind of creative, something that you can, that you're, you know, doing and exercise and, you know, eating, healthy food yourself. I mean, you could be a vegan, but not eating very, you know, healthy food. So, you know, to really learn, more and more. I mean, I'm still learning after, you know, 30 years of this. I think it's, all these things are important so that you're thriving, you're happy, you're positive, and you're confident, and you're respecting yourself and you're respecting them. And, when people see an example like that, it's much more easy. But the thing is, you can't change them. You know, that's the thing. That's the thing to try to be aware of. I mean, there's a tendency to say, okay, I want to do something that's going to change them, you know. And as soon as they feel that you're trying to change them, they're going to resist because that nobody wants to be changed, you know. So the whole idea is to, you know, just plant the seeds and be yourself and be honest and keep talking. And if, you know, like I'm at this, in the beginning, I was more willing to maybe, you know, go to dinner with someone who's eating meat or something. But at a certain point, I said, no, actually, I don't want to sit there and see you eating my friends, you know, so I'm not going to put myself in that position. And people, you know, some people didn't like it, and I lost some friends, you know, over it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I mean, I think for every friend you lose like that, you probably get new friends that are more in alignment and more supportive of who you truly are. And that's mm-hmm. an important thing. You know, there's a statement, I don't want to go on here too long, but I mentioned this in one of my talks, I think on this call maybe, that like, for example, in the Buddhist tradition, there's this whole idea of the Eightfold Path, you know, these eight key things that are really essential to mature spiritually and psychologically and so forth. And I think, besides those eight things, you know, like right livelihood and right understanding and all that, there's one that's even more important than all eight of those, which is sort of the foundation for everything, really, in many ways, and that is right community or right relationship or right companionship, in a sense. Like, put ourselves, you know, in relationships and in communities that are supportive, because we are, one of the things that psychologists understand more and more with every study they do is how powerfully, profoundly, and deeply we are affected by other people around us. And people, you know, if a bunch of people are acting in a certain way, it creates a force field that is hard to break out of. So for all of us, I think it's very important to surround ourselves with people who are on a similar wavelength, in the sense of being understanding of where we are. And if we don't do that, we can really find ourselves in a very difficult position.
My son has became a vegan at the same time, so I do have him as my friend. Thank you for that.
Right. Yeah, that's great. You know, and I think we're looking forward to seeing, you know, just keep planting those seeds and then looking on, you know, just seeing the best in people. That's the other thing. It's really important to see the best. Like, don't have this thought in your mind that, oh, my husband, you know, he just loves his meat. He probably won't change. You know, don't put that out there in your mind. Think, yeah, you know, all of us can grow and mature and change and evolve. And yeah, it's, you know, it's, everybody has a unique journey, of course. And they have to, but if they do it without feeling pressured, then it really sticks. You know, that's the thing. So I guess that's, I don't want to go on too long here, but thank you so much, Kim, for being with us. All right.
Thank you.
I'll talk to you. Thanks. Yeah, mm-hmm. Bye. Okay, and we have Tara. Yes.
Hi, Will and everybody. How are you today?
Hi. Good, 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 good.
I just wanted to say one very quick thing for Kim that came to mind when she was talking.
Yeah.
And that is that I know how helpless that can feel, because sometimes I find myself at restaurants with meat eaters, and people want to tell me profoundly how much they love meat and that sort of thing. And I found that actually blessing the food that they are eating, or and in the way of blessing the life of the animal that gave up their life for them, and doing so when you go to buy it from the store too. So if, as you pick up the gallon of milk, instead of becoming resentful as anybody would, then instead bless the cow and their life.
Right.
I believe Judy Carman actually brought this up the first time, as in any time you walk past a field or a pasture with a bunch of cows or see chickens that are confined, then to bless them and honor the life that they live. And that may help a lot with not only maybe influencing those around you, but also your own heart.
Right, right. Thanks, Tara. That's very good. I appreciate it. Thank you. Thanks for calling in with that.
You're welcome.
Great. Okay, thanks. All right, so now it's about, it's a little bit after the hour here. One of the things I wanted to mention very quickly is that you like Tara said, Judy had this insight to see the animal, and also I think to see the animal in the meat department. If you happen to go by the meat department, instead of seeing pieces of meat, or going by the dairy department, instead of seeing pieces of cheese, gallons of milk, actually practice seeing cows and chickens and pigs there, and say, I honor the life in you that, you know, that gave us this material thing. And I think the more we create a field of consciousness around this, the more it helps all of us. So what I'd like to just close with here is just quickly, maybe briefly now, go through the resources that we have for the month. Again, like every month, I feel there's just this enormous amount of progress and activity, and also more issues than ever. And it would be fascinating to talk a little bit more about these things. But just very briefly, you'll see in the beginning, there's quite a few of my recent essays, interviews, and speeches that, over the last month. So please feel free to partake of those if you'd like. And also we're going to Dubai in December for a World Peace Festival there, and there's more information on that video. We're also going to South Africa. Actually, it's going to be kind of neat to maybe, I'm not sure if we're going to get to meet the wonderful South African people that Lily was talking about, but we're in touch with them about it anyway, the possibility. Our Lorena Muck, you've heard her on. She's been on our call a number of times. She's the one that started just on her own going into high schools in Atlanta and doing hundreds of events every year. She's now created a 501c3 nonprofit organization. It's actually a nonprofit organization. She's right now working on the 501c3 part of it. But anyway, it's going to be doing humane education. She's already got somebody who's going to be a full-time humane educator under her. Please check out the presentation there that she made recently at Farm Sanctuary. She's asked me actually to be on the board of directors of her organization, and this could really go places, I think. She's a real dynamo, really bright and very compassionate and courageous person. Just going in, to, like I say, to hundreds of schools, and they always ask her back, which is amazing because she gives a very strong vegan message. And she's going to be teaching this to, I always thought, if we could just do this everywhere instead of just Atlanta, just get it out in the whole country and the whole world. So now she's taking it to the next level. So that's exciting. We have a great article by Dr. Clapper about the paleo diet. So very interesting. Some also some wonderful stuff on dairy. PCRM's dairy fact sheet. This new website. I'm not sure if it's new, but it's new to me. Vegan Mama, website for pregnant women and for new mothers who are vegans. So if you have, we all know people who are pregnant, perhaps, and are vegans, or have little kids and are vegans, and they're getting attacked. So this is a great resource.
a wonderful short dairy video by Emily Deschenal. I think that's great to share. And some other information going down here. There's a great article here, the one on vegan emotions. We could have a whole talk on this sometime. I think maybe we should. It's, you know, just basically making up new words for the emotions that vegans feel that nobody else who's not a vegan can't imagine feeling, the feelings that we feel. You know, they're just and there's so many different examples in this article, and they invite people to create, you know, more of these. You know, one was really funny. Exhaustion. It was like the word exhaustion, but it was changed. And it's that feeling a vegan has when they hear for the thousandth time, but where do you get your protein? And you have to explain. all these different words. Anyway, it's a very cute article and very good. A lot of other great articles that are coming out here. New Zealand has just created a giant South Pacific sanctuary banning fishing. And a really good interview I highly recommend with Dr. Milton Mills, who is an MD that we know very well. And we've interviewed him a few times about the paleo diet, about fiber, about black nutrition, about how the standard American diet negatively affects people of color. Really very, very good. And some good articles about conspiracy and this other thing here. This isn't brand new, but you know, I think you remember Patrick Boumamian, who's probably the strongest human being on planet Earth. He's also a vegan. Some information about how he just carried 1,212-pound yoke for like 10 meters, and that's never been done before. I mean, I can't imagine 1,200 pounds. So, and this great article about Dr. Ellsworth Wareham, who's a vegan doctor who's now over 100 years old, and he's still driving his car and running around. He was doing surgery up until the age of 95 on people. Can you imagine? So he talks to me. He says, the only reason I'm so healthy is because I'm a vegan. And so anyway, there's some really interesting articles here. It's always good to become aware. I love being able to do this throughout the month and present it to you all with my love and best wishes. So at this point, I think we're past the time for our beautiful time that we have together every month. We will be getting together again next month. We'll be in November, and the third Thursday of November is November 19th. We will at that point be in our RV. We'll be now just starting. We'll only be in the RV for a couple of days. We'll be in Flagstaff, Arizona, and we'll be conducting the third Thursday from Flagstaff, Arizona, if all goes according to plan. And so until then, Madeline and I send you our love and appreciation, our gratitude for the work you're doing. Never doubt that any effort you make is ever lost. And know that at a deep level, compassion does encircle the earth for all beings everywhere, that we are part of an awakening on this earth, so that we human beings may celebrate our lives here on this beautiful and abundant planet the way that we are intended to. Much love to you all, and thank you again so much for being the change that we would like to see in the world. Call me or send an email if you have any questions or concerns, and let us know if we can come to your area in the next 11 months to put on a presentation. All right, much love to you all. Thanks so much for joining us.